be seated. Some of us decorated nurseries for children or remember that childhood storybook that taught us about the rainbow. Taught us about Noah, the ark, the animals coming into the ark, how?
Two by two.
We know the story. And we have this image in our text today from Jesus himself that is recalling the time of Noah. Now imagine Noah, the only blameless person around. God, as we understand it from this ancestral story, God is throwing in the towel on all of humanity because humanity has grown so completely violent. And God says to Noah, the only one who is following in the way of God, you and your family, and then these animals two by two, are going to be protected in this ark, and there's going to be this flood. So Noah follows the instructions and builds this enormous ark. One of our images for church is an ark, right? If you look up, it's like an upside down ark, right? Sheltering us, perhaps from a violent world and the violence that is always threatening. So Noah built this ark per the instructions of God. All the details are in Genesis. And then I imagine he was waiting and waiting and waiting and thought, well, if I'm waiting, I might as well pick up my brush and pick up my little tub of pitch and go over everything a bit more, right? Every nook and crevice, every possible crack where the wood meets, I'll just keep going over this with the pitch until we finally need this big boat. Imagine him going around his boat while his neighbors continue in their violent ways, laughing at him, wondering what he's doing. And then one day, he and his family go inside, the animals go inside two by two, and they are preserved while the rest of humanity, as this story goes, is drowned in a flood. At the end of the flood, when the waters recede and the ark is on dry land, you remember the part where the dove comes and there's an olive branch in the dove's beak. And in that place, when Noah and his family leave the ark, they offer this burnt sacrifice to God, and God smells it. And God is pleased that his people that he preserved, these righteous people, that they thanked him. It was a thanksgiving, right? And so this thanksgiving offering goes up to God, and God smells it. And the story tells us that God smells it and is pleased. And God sends this beautiful sun from the clouds and the heavens right on down to the earth. And that beautiful, colorful image continues to be for us a sign of God's promise. This rainbow, this colorful, there's nothing else like it in the world. When you see a rainbow, I pull over, take a picture. The picture never looks as good as it does with my eyes. It is a stunning thing to see a rainbow, right? We've got really kind of half a circle, a rainbow, coming from the heavens to earth. This rainbow is God's promise, we learn in the ancient story. God's promise to never destroy all of humanity again. Here's the thing. God makes this beautiful, hopeful promise to humanity. And what's missing in the story for me is that the humanity that is left, which is about six people, they do not make a promise back to God to live without violence. I wonder how that would have fit in. In fact, a couple chapters later, we see that Noah and his sons are mired in some sort of familial conflict. That it begins again, this loop of violent behavior in humanity. So God, keeping God's promise, some millennia later, sends his own son to live among us and to be a sign of hope, to teach us how to make a promise to live in the way of love instead of the way of violence. And Jesus goes around teaching and healing and helping and teaching some more. Here's how to live. Get rid of all the violence. This is not God's design for you. Instead of giving us dimensions to build an ark, Jesus gives us a way to live at peace with our neighbor and ourselves. And his followers, they're blown away by it. It's a hard way. And he continues to teach and teach this way of love. As Jesus makes his way through the roads and pathways, Galilee to Jerusalem, around and about towns and villages, I imagine that Jesus looked out from time to time and saw some crosses. Before Jesus was crucified on Good Friday, he would have seen other people crucified. Have you thought about that? He would have walked by places where the powers of his day had crucified a thief, a criminal, a bandit, somebody who was a threat to the order in some way. Jesus would have been so filled with pain at the sight of other people being violently killed in this way, shamefully humiliated, that before he ever hung on that Good Friday cross, he was already feeling the pain of crucifixion. And still he taught us to live without violence. Perhaps he was renewed every time he saw those violent actions, renewed and felt eagerness to say, stay awake, stay alert, pay attention, do not let that kind of violence creep into your life. Let's fulfill that promise that God made by doing our part. Not by building something out here to hide in, rather by doing the hard work in here, by creating the ark in here, the safety of God's peace that is within us. That is our one true hope as the people of God. Every time that we remove a shred of violence from our hearts or minds or lips or actions, we are making a promise to God to live in this new way. It's hard to wait. It's hard to wait for little children. It's hard to wait for Christmas. For us grown-ups, it's hard to wait too. It's really hard to wait for a diagnosis or a sense of what will happen in our lives in a particular court case or something unfolding at work. It's hard to wait and hold on to hope. And Jesus urges us to do it anyway, to stay alert, to stay so alert that we do not lose hope in humanity, in ourselves, and in this beautiful world that God has made. That is what we are waiting for. That completion of the promise of God renewed by humanity over and over and over again. It is more than a baby born in a manger. It is the belief, the hope, that we can live in a better way.